And in Acts 10:34 through 48, we see Peter proclaiming the gospel to Cornelius and other Gentiles in Caesarea. Chapter 10 introduces a God-fearing centurion named Cornelius, who prayed to God continually. Cornelius had a vision of an angel speaking to him and instructing him to send to Joppa for Peter, who will be able to tell him what he must do. Cornelius then sent three men to Joppa. While they were en route, God had prepared Peter to receive the messengers from Cornelius by a vision in a trance. As Peter pondered the meaning of the vision he had seen, the three men arrived at the home where he was staying, and the Holy Spirit instructed Peter to accompany them without hesitation. Peter then asked the men why they had come, and they advised him of Cornelius' vision. After lodging them overnight, Peter, accompanied by six Jewish men. You wonder why he was accompanied by six Jewish men? Well, stay tuned. We'll get to that. They went with the three men to Caesarea. Upon arrival at Cornelius' home, Peter found not only Cornelius, but also a house full of Cornelius' relatives and close friends. After Cornelius explained why he had sent for Peter, Peter explained that those who believe in Jesus will experience the forgiveness of their sins. Cornelius and those Gentiles present in his home believed the gospel, and the Holy Spirit fell on them as he had fallen on the disciples on the day of Pentecost, greatly surprising the six Jewish men who had accompanied Peter to Caesarea. Peter then commanded those who believed to be baptized as a testimony of their salvation. Well, in verses 34 to 43, Peter presents the gospel to Cornelius and the group Cornelius had gathered in his home. It says there in verse 34, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" Then transitions from what Cornelius said to Peter in verses 30 to 33 to what Peter would say in verses 34 to 43. "Peter opened his mouth" is used in conjunction with "said," indicating a fact in addition to "said." The time of its action occurred at the same time as the action of "said," and what Peter opened was his mouth, literally "the mouth," where the word "the" is used in the Greek text to show possession. And what Peter said was, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." "Of a truth" is in accordance with the truth, or truly. "I," meaning Peter, "I perceive" is "I understand." And what Peter understands is that God is no respecter of persons. God, meaning God the Father, is not one who shows partiality or favoritism. You and I should be careful also not to show partiality or favoritism. Well, just because somebody comes from a different level of society than you come from, you should not be showing partiality toward or against that person. Just because somebody might have a different skin color or might speak a different language, you should be very careful about showing partiality. Verse 35 describes or continues Peter's presentation of the gospel to Cornelius and the group he had gathered in his home. Peter goes on, "But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." But introduces a statement in strong contrast to "God is no respecter of persons" in verse 34. In every nation, it's in every group, or in each group of people, "he that feareth him and worketh righteousness" is the one who fears, meaning who stands in awe of, or who reverences him. It is the one who fears God the Father and worketh righteousness, meaning the one who does what is right, is accepted with him, is acceptable to him, meaning to God the Father. Accepted with him has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, "Accepted to him is the one who fears God and who works righteousness." It should be noted that their becoming acceptable to God does not involve their becoming Jews before they can be acceptable to God. And I say that because there was a group of people who believed that any Gentile who got saved would have to become a Jew, meaning to accept circumcision and accept the law as his authority. But that's not what God intended. Verse 36 continues Peter's presentation of the gospel to Cornelius and the group he had gathered in his home. "The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." The word, of course, is the message, and it refers to the gospel message. The entire verse is emphasized by its position in the text. The word seems best understood as the direct object of "no" in verse 37 in the phrase, "ye know." What do you know? You know the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. What which God sent refers to the word. It is which he sent, where he refers to God the Father, as indicated by the italics. The King James translators have supplied "God" in order to clarify who he is. Which God sent unto the children of Israel is to the sons of Israel, which means to the Israelites. Preaching peace by Jesus Christ is used in conjunction with "sent," and it is used to complete the idea of "sent." The tense of "preaching" indicates that it is describing what God was doing at the time he sent this message. What God the Father was preaching or was proclaiming was peace or harmony with himself by, meaning through, or via Jesus Christ. Peace or harmony with God the Father comes through Jesus Christ. We have peace with God as a result of our trusting Jesus as our Savior. "He is Lord of all" is a parenthetical statement about Jesus Christ. And of course, as a parenthetical statement, it does not advance the narrative. There are no such thing as parentheses in the Greek language, but our translators have put them in there because they were aware that this was indeed a parenthetical statement. He this one, a reference to Jesus Christ, is Lord, which means he's master of all, meaning of all persons, including both Jews and Gentiles, as well as of all things. Of all has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It reads literally, this one is of all, Lord. Verse 37 continues Peter's presentation of the gospel to Cornelius and the group he had gathered in his home. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. That word which was preached is the spoken word or the event which took place or happened. That word which was published may refer to the message which was proclaimed orally, or it may refer to the oral proclamation itself. There's really no difference in meaning. I say, note the italics, has been supplied by the translators in reference to Peter. It has apparently been supplied to indicate that the word in verse 36 is being made more specific in verse 37. Ye know where ye is, you plural is emphatic and refers to Cornelius and those gathered with him in his home. What they knew is the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace with God by or through Jesus Christ, which is mentioned in verse 36. Throughout all Judea indicates that the proclamation of this gospel message was extensive in Judea. And began from Galilee is used in conjunction with what's published. Its action occurred before the action of was published, and it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to was published. It might instead have been intended to show time in the sense of having begun from Galilee or after it began in Galilee. After the baptism which John preached suggests that the public ministry of Jesus began with his being baptized by John the Baptist, which John preached refers to the baptism proclaimed by John the Baptist. As we move into verse 38, we see that it continues Peter's presentation of the gospel to Cornelius and the group he had gathered in his home. In verse 38, Peter mentions God the Father's anointing Jesus as the Messiah and Jesus doing good works and healing those oppressed by Satan. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How introduces the manner in which God the Father sent the message of salvation to the Gentiles, to the Israelites. God is God the Father. Anointed speaks of God the Father's consecrating or appointing Jesus as the Messiah. In Acts 10:38, a reference to Jesus appears in the Greek text where it functions as the direct object of anointed, but it was not translated into the English text, which is always interesting. Jesus of Nazareth is Jesus, the one from Nazareth. It actually functions in the Greek text in apposition to him, which was not translated in the King James Bible. In other words, the him is Jesus of Nazareth. And the translators took a little liberty with the text here, but they got the thought accurate. Jesus of Nazareth is emphatic by its position in the Greek text, which reads literally, Jesus, the one from Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost, that is, with the Holy Spirit, and with power, specifically with power which would enable Jesus to work miracles. This anointing occurred following Jesus' baptism when the Holy Spirit was seen descending and remaining on Jesus. John the Baptist attested to this in John 1, 32 through 34, which reads, and John, that's John the Baptist, bear record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, refers to Jesus. He went about, suggests he went about from place to place, or went about through the villages doing good, suggests that he was benefiting them, and it's used to complete the thought of went about. And healing likewise completes the thought of went about. It's understood in the sense of curing or restoring to physical or spiritual health those who had physical or spiritual ailments. All that were oppressed of the devil is all the ones who were being exploited or dominated by the devil, that is, by Satan. It indicates that people were under the tyrannical rule of Satan and that he was oppressing them with their maladies. It further shows that Jesus freed them from Satan's tyrannical rule. These things were done in fulfillment of Isaiah 61:1, which says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Do you suppose we have people today who are oppressed by the devil? Just look at all the nutcases that are out there in society that keep getting their mugs on TV every night. You suppose they're oppressed by the devil and don't even know it? Sure they are. They need to be saved. Will they get saved? Well, that's not up to us to determine. That's up to them to decide whether they will trust Jesus as their Savior or not. There's lots of other people in the world that are oppressed by Satan too. Everybody involved in a cult is oppressed by Satan. Everybody who is unsaved and uninterested is kept that way by Satan. For God was with him. For is the word ordinarily translated because, and should be understood in this sense here as well. God the Father was with him indicates that God the Father enabled Jesus to do everything he did. As we move into verse 39, we see that it continues Peter's presentation of the gospel to Cornelius and the group he had gathered in his home. In verse 39, Peter tells those present that the apostles witnessed everything Jesus did in his earthly ministry, and that the Jews were responsible for crucifying him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. And may indicate a continuation of the statements about Jesus, or it may be emphatic and understood in the sense of indeed, in fact, yea, verily, or certainly. We refers to the apostles and is emphatic. We are witnesses, are introducers, an existing fact. Witnesses is testifiers. And we are witnesses of all the things which he, meaning Jesus, did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And it indicates the things regarding which the apostles were witnessing or testifying. Of all things which he did, where he's Jesus, suggests everything Jesus did during his earthly ministry. Remember, they accompanied him for 3.5 years during that earthly ministry, and they saw everything. And he did these things both in the land of the Jews, that's Judea, and in Jerusalem, which is one of the cities in Judea. It's both in the country of the Judeans and in Jerusalem. Whom refers to Jesus, and they refers to the Jews. Slew is got rid of, did away with, or destroyed by execution. And hanged on a tree is also used in conjunction with slew. And it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to slew. It might instead be understood as showing time or means. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of when they hanged him on a tree. If showing means, it would be understood in the sense of by hanging him on a tree, of course, referring to the crucifixion. A tree is referring to the cross. And verse 40 continues Peter's presentation of the gospel to Cornelius and the group he had gathered in his home. It indicates that God the Father raised Jesus from the dead and publicly showed him to be alive. Did you get the idea that this is a rather complicated text? It is. So if you struggle with it, it's not shocking. It isn't an easy text, but it is clear. And it says in verse 40, him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Him is this one and refers to Jesus, and it's been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, and this emphasis has been retained in the King James translation. Him, God, that's God the Father, raised up implies raised up from the dead, and the third day is on the third day, not on the fourth day. He was not in the tomb for 72 hours. It's stated so often that people still want to make Wednesday the crucifixion day, but it is not and can't be because of the repeated statement on the third day. And showed him openly, where him refers to Jesus is, and gave or granted him to become visible or to be seen, or granted that he be seen. And he was seen by many witnesses. Verse 41 continues Peter's presentation of the gospel to Cornelius and the group he had gathered in his home. It indicates that Jesus was revealed to the apostles to be alive from the dead. Not to all people. Indicates that God did not permit Jesus to be seen by everyone. Typically, the unbelievers did not see the resurrected Jesus. Now, his brothers would seem to be an exception to that. Verse 41 continues Peter's presentation to Cornelius. It indicates that Jesus was revealed to the apostles to be alive from the dead. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Not to all the people indicates that God did not permit Jesus to be seen by everyone, but introduces a statement in strong contrast to not to all the people, unto witnesses. But unto witnesses is to witnesses or to testifiers. And it indicates that those whom God permitted to see Jesus alive following his resurrection from the dead and ultimately to personally attest to the fact that he had been raised from the dead, they were chosen before of God. They had been chosen or appointed beforehand or in advance by God, meaning God the Father. Chosen before of God is used to restrict or limit the witnesses who would be privileged to see Jesus alive from the dead. But you must understand, his brothers may very well have been exceptions to this. As we go on, we see, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. It further limits the individuals God appointed in advance to be witnesses of the resurrected Christ. As indicated by the italics, even has been supplied by the translators, to us is further defined by who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. It's a reference to the apostles. Who? Such ones who? And did eat and drink with him, where him is Jesus, is who ate and drank together with him. The time of the eating and drinking with Jesus took place after he, meaning after Jesus rose, after he rose up or came back from the dead. And from the dead is literally out of or out from dead ones. And it indicates that he was one of the dead, that he was genuinely dead. As a result, he is no longer dead, but is alive. Verse 42 continues Peter's presentation of the gospel to Cornelius and the group he'd gathered in his home. And it indicates that Christ commanded the apostles to proclaim him to the people. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. And continues Peter's presentation. He commanded us, where he is Christ and us as those who had eaten and drunk with him after his resurrection. Means he ordered, he instructed, he directed, he commanded, or he gave orders to us. He ordered us to preach, meaning to proclaim or to make known unto or to the people, and to testify, suggests, and to testify solemnly, or to declare solemnly and emphatically, or to bear witness to solemnly. As translated, and indicates a second thing the witnesses were commanded to do. It might instead be understood as repeating the same thing in different words, and be understood in the sense of even, or in a more emphatic sense of indeed, in fact, yea, verily, or certainly. So, to preach and to testify, are they two ways of saying the same thing? That would make good sense. Or are they two separate things? What they were to testify is that it was he, or is he, which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. That it is he which was ordained of God, where he is Jesus, is that he himself is the one appointed or the one determined by God, meaning by God the Father, to be the judge of quick and dead indicates what God the Father ordained that Jesus do. Who are the quick? Are they the ones that can run real fast? No. They're the living ones, all right? Quick means alive. To be the judge of quick and dead indicates what God the Father ordained that Jesus do. The ones he will judge are the quick, meaning the living, and the dead, which suggests that he will judge the ones who have died. Quick and dead means that Jesus will judge everyone, whether they are still living or have died. Verse 43 concludes Peter's presentation of the gospel to Cornelius and the group he had gathered in his home. It began in verse 34. In verse 43, Peter indicates that in accordance with the testimony of the Old Testament prophets, all those who trust in Jesus will have their sins forgiven. To whom give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. To him, where him refers to Jesus, all the prophets witness. To this one, all the prophets are testifying or are witnessing. And what the prophets are witnessing is that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. His name refers to Jesus himself. So through his name means through Jesus. Whosoever believeth in him, where him is Jesus, is everyone or each one who believes or trusts in him. What do they believe? That he's God the Son who died on the cross, paying for the sins of all humanity, and that he then rose again from the dead. Whosoever or everyone who believes or trusts in him shall receive remission of sins. What if they're not among the elect? It's whosoever believeth in him has nothing to do with election. Somebody cannot be elect but still believe and get saved. That's not what Calvinists believe, but it is what we believe. Whosoever will may come shall receive remission of sins. He will get or he will obtain pardon or cancellation or forgiveness of sins. It means that everyone who trusts Christ as his Savior gains forgiveness not only for the sins he has already committed, but also for the sins he will still commit in the future. And that forgiveness is received at the instant of salvation. Remission of sins has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, the remission or forgiveness of sins he will obtain through his name, meaning everyone who believes in him, that is, who believes in Jesus. In verse 44, the Holy Spirit fell on those present. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. While Peter yet spake these words is used in conjunction with fell, indicating time. And its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action of fell. Peter is still speaking, and the Holy Ghost falls on these people who were listening. Did any of them pray the prayer of salvation? Oh, I doubt it. They believed. Remember what John 3:16 says? Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Does that mean that somebody might be saved who's never asked God to forgive him and save him? Sure it does. Might your children already believe and you don't even know it? Of course. When did I get saved? I have no idea, but it's when I believed the gospel. I don't know whether I was 4 years old or 5 years old, but somewhere in that range. But I don't know. I can't remember not believing that Jesus died on the cross and paid for my sins and rose again from the dead. And then again, I can't remember what I did yesterday. So, you know, it's not such a big deal. But I can remember who you people are. I do have that straight in my head. At least I think I remember. What's your name? Oh, yes, I know you. 8 months ago, I married you, didn't I? Yes, I did. How about that? The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. It means that the Holy Spirit fell on or came upon all the ones who were hearing or listening to the word or message. And it implies that all those in Cornelius' home not only listened to the message Peter shared with them on this day, but that they also believed it and were saved as a result. You suppose Peter gave an invitation for everybody in that to come forward if they wanted to be saved? I doubt it. I know that that's something that we think has to be done in our services today. In case you haven't figured it out, it isn't my practice, all right? I don't think if somebody's really under conviction that we need to have that done. They can be saved. We want them to be saved. But we want them to be genuinely saved, not to put on some show. In verse 45, the six Jewish men who had accompanied Peter were amazed that the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles in Cornelius' home. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they of the circumcision which believed is the believers of the circumcision. It means the Jewish believers were astonished, were amazed. They were astounded, or they were surprised. They weren't expecting this. Were astonished has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, and were astonished, the believers of the circumcision. As many as came with Peter refers to the six Jewish men who accompanied Peter from Joppa to Caesarea. It is all those who came with Peter. Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. It may express the cause of their astonishment, or it may express what it was that surprised them. The word translated because is capable of being translated that. If expressing the cause of their astonishment, it is understood in the sense of because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is possible. Or if expressing what it was that surprised them, it is understood in the sense of that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Both are true. The question is, which one did God intend us to understand? And I don't know that we can decide that. You can decide it from the King James because it's translated particularly to show cause. But it could have been translated to show just what surprised them. on the Gentiles refers to Cornelius and those gathered in his home to hear what Peter had to say. They were not Jews. On the Gentiles has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, and this emphasis has been retained in the King James translation. On the Gentiles also, in addition to on them, meaning in addition to the Jews on the day of Pentecost. It is not what these six Jewish brothers expected. The tense of was poured out indicates an action which occurred in the past, whose result continued on. The gift of the Holy Ghost is the gift which is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the gift which was poured out on these Gentiles. The fact that the Holy Spirit is a gift indicates that God had given them the Holy Spirit. The meaning would not differ if the text had read on the Gentiles the Holy Spirit had been poured out. It means that these Gentiles had fully experienced the Holy Spirit just like they, meaning just like these Jewish believers had on the day of Pentecost. Now, when Peter gets back to Jerusalem, some people that believed that everybody had to become a Jew in order to be saved took him to task. So in Acts 11:15-17, that's the next chapter, Peter will describe this experience of the gift of the Holy Spirit being poured out on these Gentiles in verse 47 as receiving the Holy Spirit like we Jewish believers did, as God's gift, and as Jesus baptizing them with the Holy Spirit. And Acts 10:47 says, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" Acts 11:15-17, which we will get to in another week or two, says, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost.' For as much then as God gave them," meaning the Gentiles, "the like gift as he did unto us," meaning the Jews who believed on the Lord Jesus, "what was I that I could withstand God?" And in that passage, the "I" always refers to Peter. According to verse 46, and we're back in Acts chapter 10, the six Jewish men who had accompanied Peter to Cornelius' home heard the Gentiles speak with tongues and glorify God. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter. Four is introducing an explanation of why the six Jewish men knew that the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentile believers in Cornelius' home. They heard, where "they" refers to these six Jewish men who had accompanied Peter as they were hearing. The tense of heard indicates ongoing action in past time. Them, in the phrase, "them speak with tongues," refers to the Gentiles in Cornelius on whom the Holy Spirit had been poured out. Speak is speaking, and its tense denotes ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of heard. It's used to complete the idea of heard, to indicate what they were hearing. They were hearing them speaking with tongues or with languages. They were speaking in foreign languages without having previously studied them, and magnify God. They were also magnifying God the Father. The same people who were speaking with tongues were also magnifying God. Magnify is used in conjunction with heard. And its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of heard. It indicates what they were hearing in the sense of and holding God in high esteem, or and exalting God, or and glorifying God, or and speaking highly of God. Now, I've got a question here that I'm going to ask you, and it's not been put in my notes. But I'm going to ask you, wasn't it good that these six Jewish men had accompanied Peter to Cornelius' home? That they were there? It certainly was, but why do you suppose they had accompanied Peter? They weren't expecting this. Was it not because the Holy Spirit had directed that they be there so that they could testify that the same thing happened to the Gentiles on this occasion that had happened to the Jews on the day of Pentecost? Is it not another example of God's working all things to good together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose? Or of the steps of a good man being ordered by the Lord and him delighting in the man's way? Absolutely. Why does God have certain things take place during your experiences that you didn't plan on? Was he not in control and allowing these things in some way for your benefit? Then answered Peter, indicates what Peter did after realizing what had just occurred. Then is used to suggest what happened next, and it's understood in the sense of thereupon. Answered Peter introduces what he said next, and what he said is found in verse 47. Peter asked about water in which to baptize these new believers. He said, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" The structure of this question, "Can any man forbid water?" indicates that it's anticipating a negative answer. It is literally, one is not able to forbid the water, is he? And implies, no, he's not. In the Greek text, the word the appears before water in order to particularize it as the specific water needed to baptize these believers. Forbid water suggests withhold, keep back, refuse, or deny the water. That these should not be baptized is that these not be baptized and indicates a negative purpose or result in order that or so that these Gentile converts should not be baptized. Why might someone withhold water so that some could not be baptized? Was water that difficult to get? Maybe, I don't know. Some Jewish people may not have wanted to see Gentiles baptized without becoming Jews. Think about that, because that kind of comes up in the next chapter. Which is who? Such ones who, or all those who? Who to be sure, or who indeed, and refers to Cornelius and those gathered in his home to hear Peter, who had just been saved. Which have received is, which received, or who received? And it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. Who have received the Holy Spirit and has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, who indeed the Holy Spirit received, as well as we, where we refers to Peter and the six Jewish believers who had accompanied him from Joppa to Caesarea. And it's emphatic. It is just as we, and implies, have received the Holy Spirit. You know, today, I know Acts is a transition book, but today, when somebody receives Christ as Savior, he automatically receives the Holy Spirit at the same time. There is no such thing as a genuinely saved person who has not got the Holy Spirit indwelling in him. that occurs at the instant of salvation. So how can somebody live like the devil who claims to be saved and not seem to have God rebuking him, getting a hold of him? Well, it's a question we can't answer, can we? But we see people like that. In verse 48, Peter commanded the Gentiles who had been saved to be baptized. And then the Gentiles requested that Peter stay for a while. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. And he commanded them to be baptized where he is Peter, and them as Cornelius, and the Gentiles who had gathered in his house to hear Peter. And he ordered, directed, or instructed that they be baptized. You mean baptism is a requirement? Not for salvation, by the way, but for obedience to the Lord following salvation? Yes, it is. Have you been baptized? Take care of it. We've got a baptistry up here, and we've got the ability to baptize you. In the name of the Lord, where the Lord is Christ, is in relationship to Christ himself. The name of the Lord represents the Lord himself. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days, indicates that these new Gentile converts asked Peter to stick around for a few days. Then suggests thereupon and indicates what took place after these Gentiles were baptized. They prayed him. Where they refers to Cornelius and the other Gentiles who had gathered in his home to hear Peter, and where him refers to Peter is they asked or requested him, and what they asked him was to tarry, to stay, or to remain several days. It's assumed that he agreed to stay several days, but it's not stated in the text that he did. In Matthew 16:19, the keys of the kingdom of heaven had been given to Peter. It says, and I will give unto thee, meaning to you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you, Peter, shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou, meaning whatever you, Peter, shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And on this day in Cornelius' home, God had used Peter to open the door of faith to the Gentiles. Peter also was involved in opening the door of faith to the Jewish people back on the day of Pentecost. So how are you doing? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Are you absolutely certain that if you were to die within the next 5 minutes, you'd end up in heaven? If there's any question in your mind about this, I'd love to talk to you about it. Mention it to me as you leave. I'll be shaking hands at the door. This is your invitation to trust Christ as Savior if you haven't already done so. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we have the privilege and opportunity to understand the gospel message and to trust Christ as our personal Savior. Thank you for the experience of what Cornelius and those with him went through. Thank you that they got saved by trusting in the Lord Jesus. I pray that you'll deal with us as we need to be dealt with. In Jesus' name, amen.